I want to bring a bit of a message this morning of identifying the strong man then becoming a giant killer. Yeah. Because Satan's the great deceiver. And a lot of the time, the way that he starts deceiving us is through our mind. And he may be telling us we're no good, or we can't do this, we can't do that. God no longer loves you because you've gone and done something wrong. He can have us down and out. He can attack our flesh. He can attack our well-being. He can attack our family. He can attack our friends. He can attack the church. But Satan has no more tools than that than to be a great deceiver. And so when we're feeling down, feeling uncertain, going through whatever we may be going through, it's always good to be able to identify the strong man, which represents Satan, who thinks he rules over the earth. So it's good that we find out what he's on about. Why am I sick? What's happening? Why am I thinking this way when it's not God's way? Where is it that God wants me to be? Why am I going through this present time? But God's word tells us that God, through Christ, is giving us power and the authority to overcome all things, to trample down the ways and the deeds of Satan and his workers. So if we're to really take hold of this, of identifying a strong man and then become a giant slayer. I just want to share a couple of my own personal stories. And one is probably about 9 years ago now when I got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I knew something wasn't really good in my body at all, but I wasn't sure exactly what was going on. And so I did the medical thing and went to the doctor and got all checked out, and that's what my diagnosis come back with. However, several years before that, God had spoken directly to me and he said he had a call in my life to be counselling, caring for others, at least till I'm 85. Now, 85 has just become really interesting in recent times as I been looking at the scriptures and finding out at what sort of age God has called relevant people to a great work for him. 85, 90, 100. Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. It was really interesting that when I was diagnosed, I said thank you to the doctor, and he was shocked. I said, thank you for telling me what's going on. And I remember for weeks it was prayer. It was just before God, claiming his goodness, just having worship music always playing. I wasn't getting very much sleep for quite a long while, but eventually it come back all okay. But during that time too, I said to God, you know, if you want to change your mind, you can, because you're the great authority on this. But I don't really see in the scriptures that once you say something, that you're going to change your mind on it. So I was quite confident in our God. Just another instance, not so dramatic, but just how God is able to heal and restore us into good health. He's able to get in there and tell us the truth of what's going on in our mind, where Satan's deceived us and tried to take us out. But this is to do with our daughter, Stephanie, who was going through a really rough time in her life. But she had the opportunity to go with one of her brothers and sister-in-law and a couple of their children over to Japan. And we think, oh, thank you, Lord, that she's got an opportunity to experience something really good and great in her life. And she'd been there for a few days and they were having great fun, going exploring around the place. And this particular morning, must have been speaking to her over the phone and in some way. And she said, the others have gone out this morning, but I'm staying back because yesterday I had an injury as we're walking around. And but God reveals things to us as we walk close with him. And I said, is it one of your feet? She said, yes. I said, is it the right foot? She said, yes. I said, is it the inner ankle? And she said, yes. And I said, God wants to heal that. And I just proclaimed that over her and announced that over her, but God would heal her immediately. And later in the day, I heard back that she was able to go out and to enjoy some things and to connect with people in a strange land, but she was able to get up and walk around. So we need to be a people of expectations, but if God has given us power and authority over all things, that we take hold of that in faith and believing that he can do all things. I want to share with you three characters from the scriptures this morning. I guess we've all heard of Jonah, or at least part of it, the story of Jonah, whether that be through school or Sunday school or through church or whatever, of Jonah being called by God to go to Nineveh and to speak to them about God's unhappiness with them. Being a pagan country, and they were really doing stuff that God did not approve of. And so Jonah listens to God and he hears his word, but he runs away. And we know that in his running away, moving away from God, he ended up in the belly of a whale, which in itself was quite interesting. I don't think I'd like to be inside a whale with all the acids and stuff that happened, but God kept him relatively safe in that situation. But the thing we often, I think, overlook is why was it this prophet of God chose to disobey God? Why did he disobey God? Why did he disobey God? Not because he thought he knew better, but because he'd made a judgment call upon the people of Nineveh. They were so bad and so wicked that he thought, if I go and speak to them, I know my God is so loving, so caring, so forgiving, but it's just as likely that God will forgive them and draw them to himself. And eventually Jonah heeds the voice of God again, and he goes in here and he proclaims God's judgment to be upon them. And we see the people who knew God starting to repent and to weep and to seek God. And the king rips his clothes and even calls on all the animals of the land not to eat for several days. And of course, what happened? God forgave him. And Jonah said, this is the reason I didn't want to go in the first place. You forgive him. And so he calls on us to forgive all people too. Not just willy-nilly, but to be able to speak life and truth and hope into those that have gone astray, those that are suffering, into our brothers and sisters, into our own lives, because, well, I'm not perfect, and I'm not sure. Anyone here perfect? If you are, I'll have a chat later, because I do want to get better. Okay, and so that's a brief little story of Jonah and why he didn't want to listen to God. I want to talk a little bit now about Daniel. And we know about Daniel and his friends, how they were taken captive and told to eat certain foods, but convinced those in authority to allow them to eat the food, but God would have them eat in that situation. And they weren't bowing down to other false gods. They just stuck totally with our God, our Lord, our Saviour. they stuck with him. And then it got Daniel into further trouble when the time came where they were told not to pray to God. And he continued praying. And he got himself into some, well, it wasn't hot water. He got himself into the lion's den. But by this time, the king had made the decree that he must pray to their gods and not to his God. He'd come to have some sort of relationship with our Almighty God. And he said, yes, I've made a decree and I need to follow that through because the pressure was coming from those around him. You say it, you got to do it. You can't go back on your word. And so the time came for Daniel to be placed in the lion's den. And we read in the scriptures that the king himself was praying that Daniel's God would see him through. And we know that that's exactly what happened. The next morning came a time for him to go to the lion's den and expecting, if anything left, maybe a bone or two sitting around in the lion's den of the end of Daniel. But amazingly enough, God had protected him from the mouths of the lions. And so when Satan comes against us and attacks us in such ferocious ways, we can rely on our God to see us through. Yep. Okay, it doesn't say we're not going to go through hard times, difficulties. It's not saying that we are not going to be really hammered at some stage in life. It's saying that our God is faithful and he's faithful to save. Just want to encourage us all to be a people of prayer, a people of knowing God in a real personal way, to have a good heart relationship with God. It's no use us knowing God up here. We've got to have that one-on-one heart relationship with God, but he can love us and fulfill the destiny for which he's called us. Now I'll come to David and Goliath. We all know about David and his conquest over Goliath. But I want us to think for a moment of the Israelite army. Men who'd been trained up. Men of great force, of great courage. Men who feared nothing would go out and fight the battles that God put before them, and they would conquer many of the enemy. But on this particular occasion, Satan had got into their minds. Satan had got into their minds, and they lost all their strength, all their power, all of their courage. It just went. It just went. We need to keep our eyes always on God, that we don't be deceived. So David, being obedient to his dad and probably a little bit inquisitive as to what was happening out there on the front line, takes the food and the cheeses and the wine out there as dad had asked him to. And he comes across the battle line and he meets there his brothers. And he's saying, well, what's going on here? What's happening? The next minute, big Goliath comes out and roars his insults at the soldiers, at the king, which was bad enough. But he yelled out and was abusing our Creator God and taking his name in vain. Yet the army's there all trembling. And David has an encounter with God. And he hears quite clearly the voice of God saying to him, but he's the one that God is calling to step out into the arena. And David had to convince his brothers that he wasn't just there for sightseeing, because his brothers kept trying to plant stuff in his mind to take him away from God's call on that day, saying, but he's a rascal, he's there, he's mischievous. What can he do? He's only a little run of a guy. He's only a teenager. He's not being trained up. And David, being obedient to God, says to the king, I may have not been trained up in the ways that the mighty warriors here have, but I have been trained up as I've tended my father's sheep. I've gone and grabbed a lion by its mane and killed it as it took away one of my sheep. I've fought a big bear and I've overcome it. And the king listens to him and said, yeah, okay. Don't know what the king was thinking, this little kid. Yeah, okay, you go out and fight on our behalf, because if we lose, hey, we're being overrun by the enemy. But okay, but I'm not going to let you out like that. Here's some armour. Put the armour on. At least some protection. I'll feel a bit better at least if you've got some protection. And so he tried on the armour. Of course, we know that the armour was no good. It was too heavy. It didn't fit. It inhibited David from what he needed, which was his freedom to move his body in free motions. And then we know that David went and picked up a few stones with his slingshot. He faced the giant and he walks out and he's looking at the giant right in the eyes. Well, right in the eyes. Knowing that God was with him, he defeated the giant. And in defeating the giant, he was able to tell so many others about it. We read that he with his head and he displayed that, saying that my God has come through. My God has won this victory. He put God out there on display for all to see. For our God is mighty to save. At the present time, there are things that God's calling each and every one of us to do, because God is planned out things before we were even thought of, let alone conceived. He has great plans for you and for me. And we read of these great characters in the Bible that were great conquerors for God. And he wants us to be the same, not shying back, but moving forward. I was just reading, I'll share maybe a bit of a footy, NBL, if you like. If you ever watch footy or NBL or one of those team sports where your team's getting absolutely thrashed and it's half time and they go in for some words from a coach, and then after half time, on odd occasions, you seem to have a different team come out. Same players, different attitude, and they go on to really compete or even to win a particular game. And so it is with you and I, but our attitudes, our thinking, the way that we allow God into our lives at times need to change, that we can be the mighty warriors that God calls us to be. Because he wants to take down the enemy time and time and time and time again. We live in the world at the moment, but I really feel trying to take Australia into some third or fourth world country. We've been a lucky country for so long, and yet we're told this thing and that thing, and there's different world forums out there where a group of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people get together and make decisions for the rest of the world, the way we ought to live, the way we ought to go in life, the things that we no longer need, or that this is bad, that's bad, and this is good. And a lot of that is a load of rubbish. It's Satan in there trying to destroy the world the best he can. And so we need to speak against those strong men. We need to talk against the attack of Satan in the minds of those that think that they can control the world by gathering together and making decrees that affect us all. So I ask you, little ones, older ones, who can pray? Who's good at praying? Not a rhetorical question. Who's good at praying? Who can pray? Good. Then we need to be praying. We're praying when we can take the authority over all the things that aren't of God. We can see things restored. We can see people healed. We can see marvellous and wonderful things. We can see wheelchairs tossed aside. We can see the crippled restored. For our God is mighty to save. Some years ago, the Lord spoke to me on a Friday night gathering where we come to worship and to pray and just to serve Him. And there was a lady around about 35 years old, crippled from life. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go up and tell her that I want to dance with her. The Lord wants to dance with her, not me. The Lord. And I went up and said, the Lord said to me, but He wants to dance with you tonight. And she burst out in tears and said, I've been asking and asking and asking and asking that the Lord would encounter me and that we would be able to dance together. And at that, I took her by the arms and we started dancing really awkwardly around. Because my thought at the time was, Lord, you really serious? You serious? And yeah, he was serious, because sometimes we just got to be prepared to look foolish before others. Remember, Lord, not wanting to let me off the hook, said, tell her to walk, to walk, to walk. I said, Lord, if that's you, I'll tell her, but let it not hurt her if it's not. And I said, the Lord said that He wants you to walk. And she did. She walked. She walked around the building as big as this. And by about the sixth lap, I couldn't keep up with her. And I said, what's going on? I said, I've walked all my life. You've just started walking and you're taking off. So great is our God. All things are possible with our Lord and our God. He just calls for us to be faithful in His call upon our lives, to first identify the strongholds that are over people and to lay them at His feet and seek Him and His wisdom and His way for restoration. Unfortunately, I've got a bit of a sad story with that last one. The lady had been crippled for life. She was able to walk. But she gave it all back. The cost was too great. She may have lost her job. She may have lost some friends. And sadly, the cost for her was too great. Nevertheless, we need to be listening to God, doing His will, and it's up to the individuals to accept or to reject. I really believe the time is coming. In fact, it's pretty much upon us. And we need to be really praying and claiming over Israel at this time. We need to be praying and declaring God's peace over these people, the people from which we've come to God. They were the first ones called by God. And so we have a heritage with them. And God wants us to be praying that as the world comes against Israel, that there'll be an opportunity for Him to show His great love, His force, His goodness, His power, His presence. We say Israel's over there. No. Israel's within our heart. We can't just stand by and see what the world's doing. We need to engage with God and be about His word, His will, to give Him the honour in and through all things. Invite any that may want prayer this morning to come forward. It may seem outrageous what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're sensing, but God wants to do a work in your life. He wants to see you fully restored, to make whole. He wants you to press in more with Him. He wants us to have a Father's heart. He wants to have a heart, the heart conversation with us individually and as a group.